Well, welcome back to another episode of the TACcast. We are your podcast home for theadultgamer.com, a group of adults from all walks of life who enjoy playing video games and keep on going on doing adult things. I am one of your hosts, Fenrir765, but most just call me Fen. And with me, as always, is a true misfit, if I've ever met one, Mr. Optimus Fett. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. I like that little nod there. I got to see the original Misfits with Glenn Danzig, and it was a really rocking time. It was very hot in Phoenix that day, outdoor venue. It was still like 107 when the sun went down. By the time the Misfits hit the stage at 9:30, it was still 99 degrees.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, it was like being in a hot oven, but we stayed very hydrated and didn't drink too much alcohol so that we weren't passing out anywhere. But it was an awesome show.
Good. That's great, man. It's, you know, it's always great to go out to see some concerts and get the chance to live it up a bit, right? You know, just having some fun and listen to some tunes and some of your favorite bands that you can you had in of the past, and when they deliver, it just makes it even more worth it. So this summer I have not had a chance to get out there to any concerts, and I feel kind of let down by it. Had a chance to go see Fall Out Boy, but I turned down the tickets, and you know, but hey, that's that is what it is, right? So I'm glad you enjoyed the show, and I hope you've been picking up. I've been trying to introduce you with a little either pop culture reference or something, you know, trying to keep it a little personable, if you will. So I'm glad you're doing well and enjoying life as best can be. So I don't know, like it's been a wild trip lately. You saw that the FTC finally lost its bid for an injunction,
right?
So there's that. The CMA is now finally negotiating again with Microsoft.
Yeah, and we're still looking at 6 weeks to 8 weeks before this is all finalized because of that. So it's still not over. It's mostly over.
No, it's still not over. And then I saw,
I was so excited, actually, because today was the original day that it was all supposed to be closed and done. And originally on Thursday or Friday, everybody, like, the predictions were, oh, they're going to close on the 17th or they're going to close on the 18th and it's going to be done. And I was like, thank God, because I'm tired of hearing about it. And then when I saw that thing with the CMA, I was like, God dang it, no.
Yeah. I'm surprised there hasn't been any like reports about what may happen, because today's the like kind of drop dead date, if you will, but whatever.
I think it's like a little thing with the CMA, so whatever. I think it's fine.
Well, either way. And then I saw like this wild thing, and like I just have to bring this up now, but there's like all these rumors going around that Bob Iger is his name, I believe, CEO
from
of
Disney.
Yeah, supposedly
the one that's pissed off every union in Hollywood.
Well, yes, that guy. you know, apparently he's toying with the idea of selling Disney. Like, again, I have no verification. There's been no reports like from major things, but there's just been like these tiny little rumors, like, or at least assets of Disney. And I'm like, holy shit, what if Disney just like up and sold? Who could possibly buy Disney? And it would have to be one of the main
Microsoft,
Apple, Google, Amazon. Like, those are the only ones that come to my mind of possibly buying something the size of Disney. So that's just wild to think, isn't it? Like, just somebody else owning Disney and all of that IP and just all of everything that Disney has. I mean, they have Star Wars, Marvel, they have obviously the Disney stuff, they have Hulu, National Geographic, I mean, ABC, ESPN, and I mean, I'm sure there's a ton of other things too. Like, that's just insane. Just absolutely insane to think that Disney could be for sale one day. It doesn't make sense to me, but I also don't have $1 trillion, so I don't know how any of that works. Anyways,
that's crazy.
Yeah, enough of that. sir, do you you want to talk some games? Like, how's your gaming life been? Like, what have you been playing?
This week I played a lot of different stuff. I'm not going to do this in the order I wrote it down. I'll do it in the order that I feel like. First of all, I finished God of War 2018. I didn't do all the side quests and stuck to the main story. Phenomenal game. Loved every minute of it. Looking forward to playing Ragnarok, but that's going to be a couple games down the line. Then I also picked up Wipeout the Omega Collection on PlayStation, which is a collection of the older Wipeout titles, and it's repackaged, and it runs really nice. And I miss that game series, and it's so much fun. It's crazy fast. I also picked up a Shadow Dropped a new shmup on the Xbox, Akai Katana, which is a shmup by Cave, and the digital releases by City Connection, who gets some flack for kind of doing half-assed ports. Usually there's a little bit of input delay because they're porting a port of a port. If there is, it's not too bad. I didn't notice anything major. It's a really awesome shmup if you like those kind. It's a serious bullet hell. It'll just shit all over the screen, but it's really cool. I switched over to playing. I decided to try out hardcore on Modern Warfare 2 to see if it was less spammy than regular core. And it is. There's not people drop shotting and jump shooting everywhere. There's not score streaks going off every 2 seconds. It's a lot more tactical. I'm having a lot more fun now with the game playing that way. I even got McSwitch playing with me, and he actually likes it better too, which was surprising. There are moments though where you get killed a lot, and you're like, "What in the fuck?" Because you're just like dying. You're like, I don't even know what hit me. And then you start to get in a zone, and you figure it out. I started Ghosts of Tsushima on the PlayStation 5. I got, because I bought a subscription to PlayStation Plus. I figured there was like 4 or 5 PlayStation games I wanted to play, and adding them all up costs like about the same as subscribing to PS Plus for like 3 years. So I just decided, well, I'll just subscribe to PS Plus. So that's a really cool open world game where you play a samurai whose almost entire clan is killed by the Mongols that have invaded Tsushima Island. And then you basically wage guerrilla warfare on the Mongols, and you have to sort of a little bit bend the samurai rulebook, because samurai don't normally do that kind of stuff. He bends the rulebook a lot because he's trying to save his people. But it's excellent. Phenomenal open world game. I'm really, really digging it. It's everything I wish Red Dead 2 was, like gameplay wise. I'm like, oh god, I wish Red Dead 2 played like this, because I really like the world of Red Dead 2, but the slowness of the gameplay of Red Dead 2 killed that game for me. And I don't mean because of the 30 frames. I mean because I had to drink coffee and eat food and pet my horse and comb my horse and all that other kind of survival mechanic stuff that just... Those should be optional in the game. Don't force those on adults.
Sorry. Now, are you playing Ghost of Tsushima in Kurosawa
mode? Kurosawa mode? No. It looks cool. I tried it out. It looks cool because it's like black. It looks like an old Kurosawa movie in black and white. But Kurosawa eventually made color. And the color on Ghost of Tsushima is phenomenal. With the 4K HDR in that game is beautiful. I mean, if you've seen Kurosawa's later works like Ron, Kagamusha, Dreams. It's like that kind of vibrant color. It looks great. So I'm going to call that Kurosawa's color period. Okay? but the Kurosawa mode of the black and white is pretty neat looking. It's just all black and white though. And then I did install and check out Exoprimal, and I happened to catch a game with you the other day, and I'm not really digging it. I think visually it's very pretty. Gameplay seems all right. There's just something missing. It doesn't... I think I'll let you talk more about it when you get to your list. It's just it's not blowing up my skirt.
Fair enough. I mean, yeah, well, let's talk about it right now. I mean, like, Exoprimal, you're right. It looks great. The idea of these like exosuit I guess, heroes, if you will, because there are variations. There's a DPS, a tank, and a support class, very Overwatchy, and you're taking on dinosaurs and waves, and then there's some weird PvP element at the end of matches, and
right,
you know, it's one of those games that, to me, where you play it once or twice and you kind of get the vibe it's giving, and then you're okay with it. Like, you don't need to necessarily keep going because you don't really get anything overly new in it. But the problem with Exoprimal that I've had is that there is more to the game that they just don't tell you it exists. Like, hey, if you do this much, you'll unlock this new mode or this new idea. Like, apparently there's a 10-player raid that is utter chaos, and it looks pretty cool in some ways. You know, with variant of dinosaurs that do different things, and like, it's wild. And I'm like, there's no mention of this anywhere in the like build up that you get in the first like 5 or 6 missions that play identically the same the entire time you do it. So I think they have a terrible onboarding of that game of, hey, this is what we're going to offer you and what you can work for. And B, you know, it just doesn't feel like there's enough risk involved in that game to keep you thinking, oh man, I was just this close for something to happen. You know, it just never felt like you had a chance of gaining something notable out of it. So yes, very pretty game, very fun in the very early stages of it, but then that fun just disappears quickly because it just becomes repetitive over of what you're doing. That's at least my vibe. I think that there's something there. Talking with friend of the show Warlock, who I play a lot of Hunt Showdown with, and he was just kind of like, he made a comment and I thought it was spot on. He goes, I don't know what Exoprimal is gonna be, but I bet Exoprimal 2 is gonna be a fantastic game.
Could be.
And I was like, you know what, I think you're right, man. I think Capcom will figure out what they need to do with this if they decide to keep going after it, and they'll release a new one and it'll be awesome. So yeah, I don't know, I think there's something there. I just don't know how they can get it all the way out, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I don't know. It was fun, but it was kind of mindless, and there didn't seem to be any point to the matches.
True. It's definitely a game I could play if my wife was sitting on the couch next to me trying to tell me a story, and I needed to listen to it, and I would 100% listen to it, but I still wanted to play a game. Like, I could put that one game on.
Those stories.
Yeah. I've been playing more Halo Infinite, and I've been playing this other game that dropped on Game Pass that I didn't know what it was until I just downloaded it just to say, you know, fine, I'll just download it. And it's Fist, Forged in Shadow Tech, and it's a Metroidvania that takes place in some kind of world where animals, you know, coexist with each other. They have like a steampunk world where they've you know, essentially been humans. They call themselves Fertizens, and there's a group of kind of a ruling group of people called the Iron Dogs, and there are all these robotic dogs, and so you're this rabbit who's trying to right some serious wrong that happened. And but it's a Metroidvania. You unlock different weapons, different skills, and or not necessarily skills, but different weapons and different tools that you can use to open up new doors and shortcuts through the map, and, you know, continuing the process. But it's a melee brawler throughout the game, and you unlock combos that you can use with the different weapons, and it's kind of fun, and the story's not terrible. I've enjoyed it so far, so I look forward to finishing that sometime soon. And then, like I said, I've been playing a ton of Hunt Showdown. And I have to tell you a story, Mr. Optimus Fett, about this game. As you know, Hunt Showdown is a game that's very much built around sound. And you have to listen to things that are around you and identify direction of, you know, people and enemies and things all the time. And oftentimes, you also have to pay attention to your teammates and listen to what they say to you about things. For instance, last night, me, Warlock, and McSwitch were playing, and we had a good run where we ran into a couple different teams and we killed them and feeling great. And one guy had a necromancer skill. If he plays solo, he can revive himself after 8 seconds. And I said, "Hey, McSwitch, I am laying these barbed wire traps around this body." And McSwitch is good. He 100% acknowledges that he heard me. And within 25 seconds, the man just strolls right over the body and releases all the barbed wire traps and nearly kills himself in the process. And he's like, "Where did these traps come from?" And I'm like, and Warlock's dying at this point, laughing because he's acting like he had no clue. And I'm like, "Are you? I told you, I pinged him. I don't know how else." I love McSwitch, and he's probably gonna listen to this episode and be like, "I'm so sorry, Fed." But like,
that was a really good McSwitch impersonation of him saying sorry.
Like, it was hilarious. We laughed about it, and I love the man, and he's great, and it's fun playing with him. So it just, come on, man. Come on. If I tell you there's traps here, you got to listen. And then, crazy thing, it's like two matches later, he almost ran into another trap again that I set.
Oh, my Lance.
He's just a bull in a china shop, and, you know, it's always great playing games with him. So, all righty. Let's jump into the news, sir. We already talked a little bit about the FTC Microsoft. Not going to get into that. But there are a lot of things that have happened. And, you know, it's really been a busy news cycle. So I just kind of picked out a few stories that I thought were interesting. The first one is, according to Gamatsu, I believe is how you pronounce it, they, you know, noticed on a South Africa publication board for film and games that April and May of 2023, that there may be a game called, or a collection called, Borderlands Compilation Pandora's Box. Nothing else. That's just all it is. What I can tell you, it's not the movie.
Borderlands Reddit. No, it's definitely not the movie.
It's not the movie that we're eagerly waiting for, but it is a compilation Pandora's Box. And there's no word on what that may be, but as you know, there's Borderlands 1, Borderlands 2 and 3, as well as the pre-sequel, and all those do involve Pandora in a lot of ways. You have Tales of the Borderland that does involve Pandora. And then you have Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, which is not necessarily on Pandora, correct? I mean, that's right. The one Borderlands game other than the new Tales from the Borderlands I have not played. So one day I'll get to it. I just don't know when. So
it was really good.
Oh, I heard.
The end game kind of not that great, but the main game was great.
Yeah, I've heard it's awesome. I just haven't. I don't know why. I don't know why I missed that boat. And I love Borderlands. So, and I love the Salt and Dragon's Keep, the DLC from 2. So I just don't get why I missed that boat. Oh, maybe it was a time when I just didn't have the money. That's probably it.
It was when you were a single income.
There it is.
But yeah. The collection, I saw the rumors, it's going to have all the Borderlands games. Yeah. So we'll see. Maybe that's like a lead up to an announcement for Borderlands 4 or whatever they're going to do next. Kinda. I know they've already said they're going to do another Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, but I think hopefully we'll get Borderlands 4 before then.
Man, I don't even know where you would have gone after Borderlands 2 and before they made Borderlands 3, but I don't even know where you're going to go for a Borderlands 4. I mean, obviously you can continue to make new stories, but I mean, now that you've traveled all over the galaxy, that's pretty cool. So, I don't know. Randy Pritchford and that team at Gearbox, they have all sorts of ideas, I'm sure, that they'll come up with something. And, you know, I just hope that they can get the bad guy right again, because Handsome Jack is still one of the best bad guys in video games, in my opinion. So, and that's why this pre-sequel made it even better. Just to get the idea of how he became Handsome Jack was really cool to see that kind of unfold, very much in the same way as Red Dead 2, and how that tells the story of Dutch. So that you get for
Red Dead 1. Will eventually get to finishing Red Dead 2, only because I have to see how that worked out, because Crazy Dutch in Red Dead 1 was hilarious.
Okay. We talked about on this show, one of our biggest highlights of Summer Game Fest was the Star Wars Outlaws trailer from Massive Entertainment, the people who made The Division, right? So they kind of were in a, they did an interview, Edge Magazine, I'm seeing here, and they, you know, talked with them about kind of the size and scope of the game. And I will tell you, one of my biggest things was, if this game is just like another massive time sink a la Assassin's Creed, you know, those big giant open worlds that just take forever to traverse, you know, that all that business right there, I would be kind of off put on it, because I just don't have the time for that kind of stuff anymore. But they talked about how
I'm okay with that if it's really engaging, like, because both Horizon Zero Dawn and Ghost of Tsushima that I'm playing right now were both games like that, but they were so engrossing story-wise, and the side missions were really, like, fun. I don't know, there was something different about them. I know what you mean. A lot of sometimes the Ubisoft games, they just become bloat questware. As long as it's focused, and if they, I mean, hopefully with the Star Wars license, they can keep the lore in check and make that really engaging if it is that kind of game. It's the Division team.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I, the way they described it was, it would be very simple to that each planet that you have, no word on the number of planets, but each planet will maybe equivalent to like two zones that were in like Assassin's Creed Odyssey. So that makes me feel a little better. You don't have these impossibly large worlds that you have to traverse through. And that's kind of where I get to the point of, like, if the game gets a little too big in terms of traversal, bouncing around from place to place, and then, like, you get stuck with, like, finding these random side quests that are more fetch quests than anything, then to kind of fill the time, then it becomes an issue with me. But if you're right, like, if it's like Horizon Zero Dawn or Ghost of Tsushima, in the way that it's been explained by you and many others, that everything feels kind of natural, or like The Witcher. Like, I put tons of time in The Witcher, or Elden Ring. I put tons of time into those games because the world itself was part of what I needed.
You just couldn't stop.
Yeah. But also at the same time, like, I don't, like, I'm getting to the point where I may only have an hour and a half to play, and I don't want to spend 75% of that time walking from point A to point B in a way too. So, because I'll never get a game done of that size done. So that's just kind of where I'm at. But I'm excited for this game. It looks great. It looks fun. It looks like it will have a lot of potential for it. Now, you were telling me about this, that before this FTC thing ended up kind of shaking out with Microsoft, that some old Call of Duty servers started popping back up online. I'll let you kind of talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I guess they went in, and they had to have. I'm sure the tech guys at Microsoft and their lawyers talked, and they're like, look, we're getting this deal, so go ahead and start working on some stuff. Because I think they've known for a long time there were some server issues with the 360 Call of Duty games, and Microsoft went in and fixed them. There was some line of code that was out of date from the 360 Live servers, and they fixed it, and all of a sudden there's a influx of players. And also, if you are on Xbox and you look at the top paid games selling, they're all Call of Duty, and they're all, like, all 360 games. It's Black Ops 1, Black Ops 2, Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare 3, and I think like World at War or something, they've all of a sudden jumped to the top of the sales charts. And they were all recently on sale last week too. Maynard and I were going to play some Black Ops 2 today, but for some reason his Xbox Live wouldn't let him play 360 games, just his current series game. So I told him, I said, it depends on your live account. Like, I had an issue with when I changed my gamer tag, I had to go and like recertify. Because the 360 server still thought I was the other name. I had to do something weird and it fixed it. I don't know. That was years
ago. And he's gone through all that, like, you know, milking the $1 Game Pass Ultimate business.
Yeah, over and over again.
So I'm sure there's some shenanigans happening with his account right now. Oh, man. Well, yeah, no, that's wild. I saw somebody put something on Twitter where there was like a million players in one of them. I was like, what the hell? Like, there are a million people playing one of the old 360 Call of Duty games right now. And there was no crossplay, right? There was legitimately a hunt. I do wonder, just a curiosity, I wish there was a way we could find out. I do wonder if how many people like dusted off an old 360, plugged it in, hooked it up, and was playing it that way.
Started going to town. Yeah.
I mean,
I have an old 360.
But do you have the disc for those games? That's the question.
I have the disc for Black Ops 1 and Black Ops 2.
There you go. And see if it...
But I also own digital copies of Black Ops 1 and Black Ops 2 for the series.
But I don't know if you could I don't know if you'd want to go back to that 360 controller now that you've been all Power A Pro Fusion 19 50,000 100X, right?
Right.
All right. All right. Well,
plus on the Series X, they're upscaled to 4K. They look a lot cleaner. They have a V-Sync turned on. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons to play them on the Series X.
All right. So yeah. Well, I don't think I own any of those games digitally. I think I've always bought those physical. So, yeah, because I don't really start going digital until the Xbox One era. So, yeah. If the sale's right, I'm just hoping they get to Game Pass sometime soon. You know, obviously after like 8 months or so, but whatever.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason why they're updating it. Yeah, well, if the deal goes through in the next 2 months, somebody said when the Bethesda deal was inked, the final ink, it was 3 days later that the first batch of Bethesda games showed up on Game Pass. So,
I mean, I imagine we'll see a lot of old legacy titles that are backwards compatible start to make their way there pretty quickly. But who knows? We still got some time before any of that happens. All right, I'm going to bounce around a little bit. But next up, this story was interesting. I got this off of IGN.com, and it was them talking about obviously another article that they or interview with a composer from The Last of Us Part 2, and he was in an interview talking about how he had a cameo appearance in The Last of Us Part 2, and then talked about how that'll be expanded upon in new editions of the game, and you can make him play certain themes as well, but then he didn't really go on about that. So that started a lot of conversation among people about The Last of Us Part 2 maybe getting a remaster or something of that
nature. I'm sure they're going to dig one after the success of...
I mean, the game's only 3 years old.
It's not that old. PS Pro enhancements on it, so yeah, I don't... But who knows, man? I mean, that's the world we live in, man.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just wild to me, and I really, really hope that maybe there's something else coming, and it was just mistaken in context kind of thing. But yeah, it was just wild to see that the speculation of what he said is relating to a remaster of a game that's only 3 years old, and if that's legitimately true, then man, that's a bummer. Next up, this is actually kind of cool. EA announced a Black Panther game, and it's coming from many of the people who were involved with the Shadows of Mordor game, in a studio called Cliffhanger Games. It's a third-person single-player adventure And that's all, essentially all we really know of this game. They tweeted out a picture of like the Black Panther medallion with the like kind of the claw like necklace around it, and that's essentially it. So it will be very story driven, and it will, you know, go from there. So Black Panther is a really cool character, and I hope that they can do it right and really bring that story to video games in a very positive and uplifting way, as well as just, you know, carry on the legacy of that character in a really good way. So, all right, two last news story. All right, well, before I go, that like, do you have any interest in a Black Panther game?
I think it could be really cool, and it could be really cool. And the fact that if it's the guys that made Shadow of Mordor, I love that game. Actually, I was on another playthrough of that recently and kind of abandoned it. I don't know if I'll go back to it, but I was having a blast. Yeah, I would totally play a Black Panther game by those guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's not all of them, but there are several people from that WB studio that was involved in it. So hopefully it really goes. All right, I have two last stories. I'm going to start with this one. This one was kind of a big surprise, but late last week, Larry Herb, or many people know him as Major Nelson, has stepped down at Microsoft. He hasn't alluded to what he's up to next. His tweet was very heartfelt and talked about how he has enjoyed his time after 20 years with the Xbox team. Forgot he started in 2003. And he, it was a very, heartfelt tweet and very thankful to all the people that gave him this opportunity that he's had. And then, like, there are several follow-up tweets where he mentioned, like, he's been replying to people individually on DM with heartfelt messages. And, like, some people he's never met, he's sent pretty nice messages, too. And he's been responding to them, actually, like, from what he says and from what people have, replied. Like, he's been legitimately replying to them, not, like, copy and pasting things. So, that's pretty awesome. Lots of really big industry people have stepped out and talked about all the great things that Larry Herb has done for the industry in itself and all the things he's done for Xbox to kind of keep it in a positive frame of mind in the community. So I've always enjoyed listening to Larry Herb talk, and I've always enjoyed his viewpoints on things. I feel like he's always been a really well-rounded member of the Xbox community, and he's one of the last few like original Xbox people left in the other than Phil Spencer, but or at least people with Microsoft that was with Xbox in many ways during that original run. I don't know. What were your thoughts on Larry Herb stepping down?
Yeah, he always seemed like a really cool guy. I actually played Halo 5 with him close to when it came out. I played a couple games with him. It was really cool.
That's awesome.
He was a really good teammate. Yeah, it was really fun. I've recorded a video forever ago. I don't know if it still exists, but that was just, I was like, what am I going to get with Major Nelson? He's like, yep, that's right. It's me. I was like, holy cow. It was one of those cool things.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
He always seemed like a really cool guy. And like, yeah, it does feel like we're losing some of the old guard from Xbox. It'll be interesting to see where he ends up at.
Yeah, I hope that he takes the time and gets to spend time with his family and do the things he wants to do and gets to go off and do a new chapter. I mean, 20 years is a long time to do anything, right? So, you know, I can't blame a guy for looking for maybe a different pasture to graze in for a while and see what he can do and bring to a new conversation. So I wish him the best of luck, and I look forward to hearing what he is up to next. All right, this final news story, and this one's actually kind of really interesting, and it comes from that video game preservation space. But the Video Game History Foundation, which is a pretty cool website, gaminghistory.org, you can go to check out a lot of really cool stuff. But they recently did a study, and they kind of compared video games to silent movies. And the reason for their comparison was this, that only 13% of games made before 2010 are commercially available. That's pretty kind of staggering, right? You know, it's only been 13 years and only 13% of those games before that 13-year mark
you can find. That's why the collector's market is freaking crazy, especially I know the NES collecting blew up a few years ago, but now, like, recently, original Xbox, Dreamcast, PS2, that era's gotten really collectible. The 16-bit era is kind of insane. Like, there's certain Genesis carts that were kind of low print runs back in the day. Those are like holy grails now. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and it's crazy that, you know, all these games, like, there's plenty of games that we played a long time ago that, man, like, it would be great to go back and just, like, quickly get that going again. But, you know, so much of the hardware may not exist in a readily state. Or you may find the physical copy of the game, but that may not be in the best shape to be able to run the game. You know, if the cartridge was damaged or whatever. Like, you may not find a mint condition of that cartridge ever again. And that's just insane to me to think that. That's
why it's important that people are making emulators for all this stuff.
Yeah, like, it's insane to think that there's an industry that is as young as video games are compared to movies and music and all that stuff that has embraced the digital age as much as it has now, and only 13% of things previously from 2010 are made available, which, like, goes back to this whole thing of, like, people talking about how buying physical is the only way for games to last. And I think this study right here kind of proves the opposite of that. Clearly, buying digital doesn't preserve games as well. I think what you just mentioned, emulation, digital, things like that is what's going to allow games to be preserved going forward. Yes. I mean, we already see it now. Games are producing discs that you can buy physically, but there's nothing on the disc other than, like, maybe 100 megabyte code that says download this game, right?
Yeah, it depends on the game and the system, but yeah, for the most part, recently they're more like CD keys, I think. And it also depends on how far along the game is in development. If they were pushing the poor devs all the way to, like, you know, release day, the discs they ship to the manufacturer 2 months earlier probably are just a license code.
Yeah.
I know that, like, Final Fantasy 16 on the PlayStation 5 actually shipped with the entire game on the disc that you could install and was playable and only needed a small patch to run. But like I said, it's on a developer-to-developer basis. But yeah, I mean, emulation's the only way you're going to be able to preserve everything.
Yeah.
Because even if you have the old machines and the old cartridges, the electronics can degrade, the capacitors can pop, mm-hmm. like, you have to replace that stuff. It's not it's work keeping that stuff running now.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, we were just talking about that with our friend Hybrid the other day. He joined us in a party and we were chatting about emulation and you know, it's been so long for me since I played around with any kind of emulation, because I haven't had a computer that really could run it in a very long time. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see as we continue to move in the digital world with video games, just like how music has essentially become mostly digital. I mean, we just bought a new car, not a CD player in it at all.
Yeah, most new cars don't come with one now.
You know, so there really is no way to do physical CD, cassette, 8-track, whatever. You know, You can't do any of that in a car anymore. You know, we have to, if we want to listen to music, we either have to listen to it through our phone streaming, or we have to get a USB drive and download the MP3s and stack them in there and then put them in that way. So it's becoming massively digital only, and video games, you know, it's going that way. It'll be a matter of time before the cloud is a legit viable option to play video games.
There's some stores in the UK. They're like grocery stores, but they used to carry, or they carry games, Tesco. Mm-hmm. They're going to stop carrying physical discs. That was a news story I saw today. I should have
put on
there. So yeah, it's coming.
Yeah,
eventually.
I mean, it'll be here before we know it. So, all right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's it for the news for me. I do suggest going to gaminghistory.org/87% to check out the study. I haven't even gotten through all of it yet, but there was a lot of really cool. They talked a lot about that No One Lives Forever, that kind of spy thriller, you know, that space game on the 360 that had the girl protagonist, the female protagonist, that was kind of had that weird 70s vibe to it. It was really fun. I remember playing it back in the early 360 days. So
I loved that game.
So, yeah. Hey, you know, let's talk a little bit about Tag. You know, we got a really awesome community. We have great people chatting video games all the time, also talking many other things in our server. So I can't stress it enough. Come join us at theadultgamer.com. Click on one of the links that will take you to our server and introduce yourself. Tell us what's going on with you, what games you're playing, and jump into some of the other channels if they tickle any fancy for you. But again, find us at theadultgamer.com. I know that you can find me on the first Thursday and several other Thursdays throughout the month playing Halo with some of our good buddies, Anthem. Sometimes Goo shows up, B-Daddy K. Hopefully Hop comes again. That was a good time having you join us last Thursday. Yeah,
there was a Yankee sighting too.
Yes, Yankee. Yeah, he likes to come in and be all grouchy about us playing on Thursdays and not Fridays. But hey, dude, come on.
That's been a Tag staple for like 10 plus years. It's hilarious that he's always like, wah, wah, wah,
wah. So anyways, yeah, come join us on Halo. Check it out. And again, come us join the server and you'll get all the information you need about that. But you have a special little Friday night thing going. Tell me more.
Yeah. Well, that's because Friday night is for Fight Club. The Tag Fight Club meets up and we play fighting games. You can come to our fighting game channel. There's a Fight Club role if you want to be pinged. Lately it's been Street Fighter 6 because it's the new hotness and there's lots of interest. I think if you have the season pass, I think a new character drops this week or next week, so that'll bring some more excitement. Friday nights usually starts around, I know some of those guys, they get it going around 7 or 8 p.m. Eastern. I don't get there till later, like 9, 10 p.m. Eastern, depending on what time of year it is. But yeah, come hit us up.
All righty. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap the show up with that, sir. But before we go, I just wanted to make a quick little announcement. Me and you are going to have some conversations, but personally, I am starting grad school in the fall, trying to figure out some things here the next month, but that may cause a little disruption in our show recording. But I don't know what that's going to look like just yet, but me, you will talk, but we'll definitely have a couple more episodes to chat about things and give you guys a heads up. But I just wanted to, for our loyal listeners, I just want to let everybody know, like, hey, life is getting busy for me and I got to make some decisions on how that's going to impact things. So anyways, I am Fender765. He is Optimus Fett. Oh, do you want to plug anything, sir?
No, just come check out my other podcast, Retro Futures Culture, located on Ruinations Radio Network. If you like to listen to alternate timelines, anime, gaming history, I do some of that for the games that have alternate history, like BioShock, like you and I covered. Mm-hmm. Come check us out there. And also check out our friends' podcast on there called Oh God, It Hurts. They also do a gaming podcast.
Yeah, they talk about some cool stuff. I really enjoy listening to them. Alrighty, I am Finn, he is Hop, and until the next time, we will catch you
what
on...
What if I am Finn and you are Hop?
Dude. That would be the darkest timeline, maybe.
Or what if you're McSwitch?
Oh. Ooh. Catch you on the flippity-flip.